Then he strictly ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Today's text from the Gospel brings us up to the point in Matthew's narrative where the ministry of Jesus will change drastically. You remember that all summer long, in our scripture readings, we have been walking with Jesus through the sun-drenched fields of Galilee, down by the beautiful, deep blue inland sea. He has been talking to his followers and telling them about the kingdom of God. In this way, offering them a new insight into the meaning of life here and the meaning of the kingdom. There is about this whole area of Galilee a mystical kind of quality that is difficult to put into words. I myself have experienced it and know what the feeling is for a Christian traveler to be in the very same area where Jesus himself, the Messiah, was born, where he grew up, and above all, where he began the first several months of his preaching about the kingdom. But now the scene is going to change. From Galilee, it's, in reading the Gospel, almost as if you were going to turn a corner. Because at this stage in the Gospel of Matthew, we are told, from then on, Jesus, our Messiah, started to indicate to his disciples that he must go down to Jerusalem and suffer greatly there at the hands of the elders and eventually be put to death. For Jesus, going to Jerusalem meant suffering, rejection, anger, resentment, loneliness, violence, and ultimately his own death. And from here on, as you read through the life of Christ, we get the pictorial image of Jesus literally leaning into his own pain. He knows that if he goes to Jerusalem, there will be pain and suffering because of what he has been preaching about. He has stood up for what he knows has gone against the establishment. And now he literally leans into what he recognizes will be the inevitable. Now it's important for us to think about this because in this day and age particularly, so many of us people are living in what we would call a pain avoidance style of life. The basic principle, it seems, on which we operate is always avoid pain at all cost. We fear pain, we run away from pain, we try to escape from pain. We avoid pain. It's good counsel, obviously. It's the same kind of wisdom that a little boy in a class of 10-year-olds showed when the class was told by the teacher to write a short essay on how to take care of their teeth. And he said, in three ways, first of all, see your dentist often and brush your teeth after every meal. And thirdly, watch out for the shovers at the drinking fountain. And that's always good advice. Watch out for the shoves, because they're going to inflict pain upon you. The trouble is, and the little boy didn't know it, but as we grow up, so many of us spend so much time watching out for the shoves that we are not able to drink deeply at the water of life. And we would rather go thirsty than understand the meaning of life. It's become a style of life for us. Avoid pain at any cost. Now, obviously, I'm not suggesting at all that you go out and look for pain, because that would be a form of sickness in itself. What I am suggesting, however, recognizing the meaning and the implication of the gospel, is that if any person is really going to live a full, human, rich life, some pain inevitably is going to be unavoidable. To live a real human life, some kind of pain is absolutely unavoidable. Some of it simply because of circumstances beyond our control. But more important, if you have the courage to stand up for what is right, and if you have the courage to stand up for what you believe in, you are inevitably going to suffer for it. Remember that Jesus could have avoided the pain by not going to Jerusalem. That is really what the temptation was all about. Knowing that right up to the very last night in Gethsemane, when he sweat drops of blood, he could avoid the pain. That was the temptation. Jesus was struggling with the great mystery of human life, the mystery of pain and suffering. But he also knew that his calling was a higher value, a higher reality, a higher truth. As a matter of fact, it gave meaning to his entire life, that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God the Father, was the good news that he was called to bring to his people. And that call had the price of his own discipleship attached to it. In this case, the price of his own life. Because he stood up to the establishment, he stood up and spoke for what he believed in, and he did not avoid the pain. It was unavoidable if he was going to carry out the call. Now, the good news in all of this for us is that we know that we have a Father, a living God, who is as close to us as the air we breathe and the blood in our veins, who loves us in an infinite way, day in and day out. But the mystery of it all is that God, our Father, loves us more clearly, more beautifully, in the times of our own suffering and pain in our life. Our God the Father loves us personally, more deeply, more clearly, in the times of suffering and pain in our lives. It is part of the gospel. It is part of why we call it the good news. We cannot explain it. It is simply the mystery of our faith, which we proclaim in the Eucharist. The mystery of our faith is this profound truth. We try to understand it by saying it's something like a human father who loves his child, his children, above all when he knows that they are hurting. Or we can say, it's simply that when we are suffering or in pain, we are more sensitized and more open to the love of the Father, which is always there. But we forget about it most of the time. And how often we understand people only in times of pain and suffering are drawn to the Father. Because once more they begin to understand the ultimate meaning of their lives. We cannot explain it in detail or in human ways, but it's part of the gospel that the resurrection love of the Father, the Son, is always most present to us in moments of pain. Whenever we are down and out, it is the Spirit of the risen Christ that always is there to lift us up again. It's true that we can mouth all kinds of pious trivialities and sentimentalities and talk about positive thinking, even to say that we should rejoice in suffering. But that is not my intention, simply because you know and I know that it is no fun to hurt. There's nothing that I can say that would make it otherwise or to change it. Nor can I give any kind of ultimate answers about pain. Rather, we should understand that we have the image today of Jesus moving toward his pain, leaning into it. And if we read that part of the gospel again, we become aware of a special kind of vitality, a very special sense of God's love for his people, which is present there. It's a strange thing to say, but in moments of illness, even the most ordinary kind, we, even though we try to overcome them, in the moment of healing and rest and medication, there are always the possibilities of seeing a little bit something good about them, learning a little bit about what we have forgotten about, like how often we take our good health for granted. Or as a woman told me recently who had just recovered from a serious illness, she said how different it looked now as new life poured into her spirit. The ordinary to simple things, like the sight of fresh flowers, the smell of bacon, realizing how many people had shown that they loved her while she was ill. She had become sensitized to the little things of life while she was ill. Little things like that make ordinary good health so much more worthwhile, because we have gone through the dark valley of illness. But above all, as we lean into our own pain and suffering, we understand our Christian calling, that only when we experience pain and suffering are we able to identify with other people. Only then do we understand our ministry to help other people when they are suffering and in pain. That is part of our discipleship, to help other people. These are the meanings that come obliquely, indirectly, from this mystery of life that we call pain and suffering, that each one of us inevitably, personally, is going to be called upon to walk the pilgrim road to Jerusalem as a disciple of Jesus. And in this way we discover the living love of God, giving us, even in our pain, a new meaning in our life, even as we move toward Jerusalem in our pain.